Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 7 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for August 6, 2019, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul writes, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, through bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and have opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." This is the word of our God. In the opening verses of this chapter, Paul concludes where he left off at the end of chapter 5, and we keep in mind, of course, that the chapter divisions, especially in the New Testament, are somewhat artificial. The original writing that Paul wrote didn't have chapter divisions. He just wrote it as a letter. And so verses 1 through 11, or 1 through 13 or so, are really the conclusion to the preceding portion where he talked about the ministry of reconciliation, that the world has been reconciled to God in Christ. This is an object of completed fact, and nobody is left out, and that this ministry has been entrusted to us, that we make an appeal on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's just Paul basically saying that we go about preaching Christ crucified, exactly as he said at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We preach Christ crucified, and through the preaching of Christ crucified, through the sharing of that gospel message, people are brought to faith, and they are brought to the understanding and the reception of the forgiveness that God has given to the world. It's like the cure for cancer. You know, if there were one cure for cancer, then that'd be wonderful, but there would be no use of it if nobody knew about it. And so God has entrusted to us this ministry of letting people know about his cure for sin and his cure for death. That is the ministry of reconciliation. And so verse 1, Paul writes, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." And Paul adds some urgency with that reference from Isaiah chapter 49 in verse 2, when he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you." And he says, now, today is the time of God's favor. Now, today is the day of salvation. It's not time to sit back and say, oh, we've got all the time in the world. Let's eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. I'll put that off until I have more time and I'm not as busy, or whatever the case may be. Paul says, today's the day. Today's the day. Be reconciled to God. Repent and turn away from the persistent sin that had been plaguing the Corinthians. And Paul, in verse 3, he kind of goes on, and yeah, he recounts again some of the hardships that he faces. And the point here that he's making, the point is that he goes through all these things in order to, verse 3, not put any stumbling block in anyone's path. His goal is to proclaim the reconciliation that Christ has achieved. And so it doesn't matter what happens to him. He's bending over backwards so that nothing and no stumbling block is put in front of anyone's path, so that nobody falls away or looks at Paul and says, no thanks, I'm not going to be a Christian, I'm going to turn away from this faith. Paul says we put up with everything. The weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, and known yet regarded as unknown, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, all of these things that he says that I work with all that I have to point to Jesus, and I will put up with everything that people will accuse me of if it means that people aren't looking at me as much as they are at Christ. And so he says, we open our hearts wide to you. Be reconciled to God. We're not withholding anything from you. Paul says that he has bent over backwards for them, that he cares about them, that he wants them to repent of whatever it is that's going on there in Corinth and treasure the righteousness that Christ has won for them. And that's the plea of every Christian, of every pastor at every time, to focus on Christ, to set aside petty arguments and squabbles, to set aside the idea that I can just delay and wait and it's not that big of a priority. To set that idea aside and say, today is the day, because tomorrow might be too late. Today is the day. Christ has promised reconciliation. And so I want to do all that I can to make sure that I don't forfeit the reconciliation that he has won. And Paul goes on with the rest of the chapter, beginning in verse 14, that we will do all we can to not be distracted. And he, in verse 14 and following, he talks a little bit about what we call this doctrine of fellowship, that we work together for the truth. And basically the tagline for fellowship is that the doctrine of fellowship says doctrine matters. Who we work with and who we don't work with says that doctrine matters, says that that there is a body of doctrine, a body of teaching, and we don't get to pick and choose, and the impression that we give people and the impression that we leave people with is something that matters. And so we need to think it through when we make our choices. And that's the exact point that he says here in verses 14 through 16. He says, you can't have it both ways. You can't what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And he goes on. And kind of the big point there is that you have to understand how different you really are as a Christian. And that difference isn't something to be taken for granted. That Christ has made you different, that he has made you his own, and who you spend time with and what you spend your time on and what you devote your energies toward matters. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. I think of our young people, and one of the best advice that I had received, going through high school, college, whatever, was to say, pick your friends wisely. Choose your friends very carefully. Can a Christian have unbelieving friends? Of course. But you have to understand that those unbelieving friends will have a totally different standard for life than you do. And that being unequally yoked with them will have consequences for your faith. And we can't just sit back and be blind to this fact. We can't just sit back and say, oh, I can handle it. Oh, it's okay. Oh, you sound so close-minded that you're saying you can't have Christian friends, or you only have to have Christian friends. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that we need to be very careful about who our kids hang out with, and encourage them to spend time with Christians, and at least, at the very least, somebody who has a moral standard that is similar to the Christian faith. Because what he talks about here, verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and of idols? For we are the temple of the living God. That God himself lives within his Christians, and he walks among you, walks among us, and he wants to be our God. And what fellowship does the temple of God have with the temple of the devil? Because that's the spiritual reality, that's the actual state of the unbeliever. And so what Paul is saying is, doctrine matters. That you need to think carefully about who you hang out with, who you spend time with. And this is much broader than just decisions about worship. Because Paul lifts our eyes to the spiritual reality of who you are. That the definition of church is God's believers, Christians. And the definition of temple that we have here is the believer's life and body. And what fellowship? What fellowship can we have with somebody who is of a different faith and ruled by the devil? Because that's the spiritual reality of the unbeliever. So Paul says, think it through carefully. Think it through very carefully. Because the point and the purpose that he has in his Christian ministry is the exact same purpose that Christians have in the way they live their lives and the choices they make and the people that they spend time with and what they spend their time on and what they devote their energies to, all of it. Christians share the same purpose, the exact same purpose as Paul talks about here. It's one ministry, the ministry of the gospel, and you have been reconciled to God. You have been made a temple of a living God. So read your Bible and cherish the fellowship that we share within God's church, and be wise in your interactions with outsiders. You can find us Wednesday nights, 7 p.m., Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Hollandsuania Road at Maumee. You could also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.